same yesterday. Good morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you might be listening in and joining us in church. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome once again to church. May this time with God be an encouragement to you, mindful that we share it with brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they might be. Today we're thinking about the question, does God ever have a change of mind? And our mission focus for October is on the work of the Bush Church Aid Society and also prison chaplaincy with Anglicare. Today helping me in the service are Janice and Rosemary. Janice will read the Bible readings for us and Rosemary will lead us in prayer. We're thankful for Colin Buchanan and Rob Smith, whose songs will play during the service. To prepare us, let me pray. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation and engage with you in prayer and whatever we say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Bible reminds us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have compassion on them and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart in full assurance of faith and pray together, Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts. We have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit that we may live godly, righteous and holy lives, and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, it's school holidays and the children from Kids Church have been encouraged to listen into church with their parents today. Hi kids, thanks for listening in. Today's story from the Bible reminds us that no matter what happens, God is in control. Nothing takes God by surprise. Jesus and his disciples were tired. They needed a quiet place to rest. So they got into a boat and pushed off from the shore. A crowd followed the boat. Over 5,000 people had come to see Jesus. Even though he was tired, Jesus wanted to help them. He climbed out of the boat and he began to bless and heal many people. Later that day, The disciples said to Jesus, "Jesus, it's getting really late. These people should go home and get themselves some dinner." Jesus replied, "We can feed them. See if anyone has any food to share." The disciples found one boy. He had just 5 loaves and 2 small fish. Jesus said, "Bring the boy to me." The disciples asked Jesus, "How will so little food feed so many people?" Jesus said, "You'll see. Ask the people to sit down." Then Jesus took the bread and gave thanks to God. His disciples gave bread and fish to every single person. And to their surprise, 12 baskets were left over.
In the beginning, God spoke a word, and that's how the world began. And every moment till the end of time is part of His wonderful plan. And nothing takes God by surprise, no, no. Nothing takes God by surprise, no, no. Well, He is sovereign, He's in control. Nothing takes God by surprise. In the good bits, the bad bits, in all of your life, no matter what happens to you, you can be sure God is always in it, and Jesus can carry you through. Yes, He can. And nothing takes God by surprise, no, no. Nothing takes God by surprise, no, no. Well, He is sovereign, He's in control. Nothing takes God by surprise. Deed before it is done, He knows your every thought. Well, there's not one thing that He's left to chance. That's why we call Him Lord. Yes, we do. Nothing takes God by surprise, no, no. Nothing takes God by surprise, no, no. Well, He is sovereign, control. And nothing takes God by surprise, no, no. Nothing takes God by surprise, no, no. He is sovereign, He's in control. Nothing takes God by surprise.
Well, Janice is going to come and read to us further from the Bible. Thanks, Janice.
Good morning, everyone. I'll pray before we start the readings. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading is Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. The second reading is Psalm 77, verses 1 to 13. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show us his favour again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? The final reading is James chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Does God ever have a change of mind? Does he plan one thing and then do another? Does he say, whoops, that was a mistake, let's try this again? Does he decide, I'll do it this way today, but another tomorrow? Does God ever have a change of mind? Is his mind fixed? Can I suggest to God a way forward that he hasn't thought of? Can my thought on a matter be wiser than God's, that he changes his mind and goes with mine? Can I pray in a way that can move God to change his mind, lever him to respond, or prove to him I'm worthy that he should? Does God ever have a change of mind? Why is it an issue for many? Why is it a question that stops some Christians in their thinking tracks, stimulate the curiosity for some, but paralyze the prayers of others. Does God ever have a change of mind? What I found helpful in answering this question is to define what we mean by God's mind two ways. Who he is, his character, person, and how he unfolds his thinking, his planning, his will. In Malachi 3 verse 6 we read, I the Lord do not change. Likewise in James 1 verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And Numbers 23 verse 1, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Going on these verses that speak of God's person, his character, who he is, no, God does not change. God is unchanging and unchangeable. How then do we explain verses that seem to say that God does change his mind? Verses like we read from Jonah, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. This is a verse about how God unfolds his thinking, his planning, his will, in accordance with his unchangeable character. God, being all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise, all-good, who does not change, has every right to judge wickedness and to threaten punishment, to call upon repentance and to judge and respond accordingly with mercy, changing his mind when there is, and punishment when there is none. According to his character and person, God had every right to judge and punish the people of Nineveh. But the people repented and changed their ways. As a result, God changed his mind. God had mercy and spared them. Think of it this way. At one time, we were all enemies of God due to our sin. God warned us in order to cause us to repent, to change. When we repented and trusted Christ for our salvation, God changed his mind about us. And now we are no longer enemies, but his friends. Did our repentance mean that God changed? No. If anything, our salvation points to the fact that God does not change, because had he not saved us, he would have acted contrary to his character. Did our repentance mean God changed his mind about our punishment? Yes, because his unchangeable character meant that upon my repentance, he forgave. But someone might say, why pray for myself or for anyone if God has chosen before the foundation of the world who would be saved? Our prayer has a function like that of preaching. Though God knows those who he will save, God saves through the preaching of his word. This is God's mind on the matter, his will. And he involves his people in preaching. Romans 10 verse 14 and 15. How shall the lost believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Salvation is a gift from God, but God has planned it, in fact, commanded it, like he has for prayer, that the means by which people are saved is through the preaching of his word. This is his mind on the matter.
God knows those who are his, we don't. And he will raise up messengers of the gospel to win them. If someone refuses to be part of that plan, to not preach, to not pray, then they will be the loser, not God, and not those God will save. C.S. Lewis put it this way: you will certainly carry out God's purpose however you act, but it makes a difference to you whether you serve like Judas or like John. God's sovereign will, how God works out the plans of his mind, we do not know. Its outworking in minute detail is secret to us. But God unfolds his sovereign will in the present with our prayers and obedience. What we pray, what we do in accordance with God's revealed will, in obedience to him, in his word, is an outworking of his sovereign will, his mind, in the present, as it was yesterday and will be tomorrow. I find it interesting that the question, does God ever have a change of mind, should raise in us the purpose of prayer in general. It's interesting because it uncovers something of God's character and purpose, and of ours. Prayer is God's creative means in us to communicate with him, to get to know him, trust him, and grow in our relationship with him. Prayer is a gift of God, a privilege, a blessing. The Christian prays because, like preaching, God commands us to pray, and we comply, irrespective of the outcome, and willingly, because we want to get to know him, trust him, and grow in our relationship with him. The question, why pray if God's mind is unchangeable, his plans fixed, suggests, on the one hand, a lack of trust in God, that we don't believe that God, being all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise, and all-good, can and is involved in our prayers, working his purposes out for good, using them to unfold his unchanging sovereign will. And on the other, sadly, that we are sinners, selfish creatures by nature, influenced by pride and self-autonomy, wanting God to comply to our terms, answer our questions before we will trust him, do as he commands. The wonderful thing about God is that we can still come to him in prayer with these changeable thoughts and attitudes, and he welcomes us, unfolding his sovereign will as we do, whether we realize it at the time or not. That's what I read in the Bible. That's what I hear in the prayers of God's people, like that of the psalmist we heard in our reading this morning. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favour again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has his anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? The very purpose of prayer is to build trust in God as we talk it through with him and take on board and believe what he has revealed of his will, his mind, in his word, the Bible. Is prayer about changing God's mind? No. Imagine if that was the way we went about our conversations with another. Is prayer about engaging with God about what we know, don't know, are thankful for, desire? Yes. Remember what our Lord taught and proved by example when asked how to pray. He said, "Pray, our Father who lives in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Take this cup of suffering from me, but not my will, but yours be done." Does God ever have a change of mind? In his character? No. In the way in which he unfolds his sovereign will to us? Yes. Should this concern us? No. We read in Romans 8, verse 28, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Knowing God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise, and all-good, though it may puzzle us, awaken pride in us to think we know better, it should never paralyze our prayer or give grounds for doubting him, but to trust God and rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. May God bless his word and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Slumber or sleep.
our crowns, praising your grace. For you never change, yesterday, today and forever. Always the same, yesterday,
let's stand and say together what we believe. Together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, what a privilege it is to pray, to talk to God and know that he listens and answers them in a way that's best for us and to his glory. Rosemary's going to come now and lead us in a time of prayer. Thanks, Rosemary.
Good morning, everyone. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together as we join together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. In Psalm 108, verses 1 to 4, we read, "My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, for great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." Heavenly Father, today we lift our voices and praise to you. Great is your love, higher than the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Who else is like you? Father, when we stop to take time to praise you, our souls are filled with wonder at your greatness. When we see you in your greatness, then we have no reason to fear anything that might come our way. We pray for steadfast hearts, a firm and unwavering heart. If we are waiting for you to work something out, we pray that our trust will be firm and confident in you, for you alone know what is best for us. Lord, we pray, mindful of the times we are in, as we cope with separation from family and friends, altered work or school arrangements, loneliness, grief, health concerns or life difficulties and uncertainties, that we will not complain and dry up in our faith, but that we will draw near to you and be filled and led by your Spirit. May our hearts be secure in you today and always. Help us to cast all our fears and cares upon you. Thank you that you come to us in your great love and faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God of everlasting love, who provides all things, we pray for all people. Make your way known to them, your saving power among all nations. We pray for the leaders of this world, particularly for countries in crisis, for Afghanistan, Niger, Democratic Republic of Congo, Central Africa, Yemen and Somalia. We pray for the Queen of Australia, the leaders of federal, state and local government. Give wisdom to those in authority in every land. Destroy evil and vice. Uphold the weak and give to all peoples the desire for peace and the will to work together in trust, to seek the common good and to share with justice the resources of the earth. We pray for the welfare of your church here on earth. Guide and govern it by your Spirit, so that all who call themselves Christians may be led in the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. We commend to your fatherly goodness all who are afflicted or distressed in body, mind, or circumstances. Especially today, we remember Barbara Robinson, Jean Steele, Max Schweizer, Kay Woodcock, and Lynn Clark. Relieve them according to their needs, giving them patience in all their sufferings and deliverance from their afflictions. And as the new school term approaches, we particularly pray for teachers, support and administration staff, students and their parents. Relieve their fears and concerns in returning to school regarding the coronavirus. Help them all to work diligently in doing all they can to protect each other and to make schools a happy and safe place. This we ask for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. A prayer for ministry to rural Australia with the Bush Church Aid. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Bush Church Aid Society and the heart it has for people living in remote and regional Australia. We thank you for its staff, for its field workers and supporters around the country who are committed to making Jesus known to people who live in remote and challenging places. Today we especially pray for our past student minister Daniel Farisee, his wife Beck and their daughters Rachel, Jessica and Emily, who are serving in Kununurra in northwestern Australia. Refresh them in times of discouragement and loneliness and call others to stand with them in the task of making Christ known. We pray that through the ministry of the word and sacraments, through caring service and by support for young people, the message of your redeeming love may be proclaimed and accepted by the people of Kununurra. And we ask these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray today for prison chaplains and for prisoners, that they will have wisdom and insight as they continue to share all the redeeming grace of God with those in greatest need. We pray for the positive lifestyle programs, that men and women in these programs will be able to see new possibilities for their lives. We thank you for the freedom chaplains have to enter the correctional facilities. And we pray that God's love will be shown to the prisoners and staff alike, that their ministry will be effective and that the prisoners will take hold of the gospel and know that despite their upbringing, poor life choices or difficult circumstances, that there are people who love and value them. We pray that they would experience God's love, to accept Christ as Saviour and allow God to work in them and accomplish his purpose in their lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A set prayer for the day. Father, your love for us surpasses all our hopes and desires. Forgive our failings, keep us in your peace, and lead us in the way of salvation. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth that we may tell of your saving works. And hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Amen.
Well, just a few announcements to make. Tomorrow night, we would normally, the first Monday of the month, come together for prayer. We're moving that to the following Monday, to the 11th of October at 7 p.m. We trust you've enjoyed this little Bible teaching time through the school holidays on questions we may not think to ask God. You can listen to all four of them on the website if you've missed them. Next week, we turn to the New Testament little letter to the church in Philippi, to Philippians, and the sermon series is One in Mind, Love, Spirit and Purpose. You might like to read that little book before the coming Sunday. Kids Church, Term 4, will start with the big kids on 10th of October. We are got plans for going back. We welcome the news that churches will soon be able to return to meeting together, subject to strict COVID safe regulations. Please have a little read of my letter that I sent last week to you all, if you've not done so already. We're not going to be rushing into returning, but we will eventually. We want you to know, Parish Council and myself, that we're preparing in advance for this, and so that we can be certain that we're compliant with public health orders and the directions of the diocese. But if you have any concerns, please don't hesitate to call me and raise them with me. Well, once again, thank you for listening in. Malachi 3, verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Romans 8, verse 28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice, therefore, always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let me close with this prayer. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen.